Welcome to the family here on Purple Mafia. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Purple Mafia is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, of course, featuring Spotify. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. The Minnesota Vikings went into Soldier Field. They played Division II football, Division I football. They played whatever they played. It was last place teams playing against each other, and they looked like last place teams, whether it be pro or college or Division I, Division II. But the Vikings win 19-13. Hey, that's the same year that Woodrow Wilson got the whole Federal Reserve thing going, and the dollar's dropped about, you know, like 99% since then. Yeah, but that's another story. We'll talk about that on a different podcast that starts with the word freedom, something that we've been lacking for a long time. 19-13 in Chicago. Another Zimmer-like game. Another offense that looked like crap, and run defense that stopped playing as well, or just didn't look all that great. Offense, very, very disappointing once again, very mediocre. Alexander Mattison still can't catch a pass, and he can't do a hell of a lot else either. On 18 carries, 44 yards, 2.4 yards a carry. Wow.
It sucks. Oh, God, it sucks.
Darn right. Yeah. Kirk Cousins, mediocre at best, dodged a bullet. Throwing the ball behind him, basically. It could have been a fumble recovery, basically. And luckily, the ball went out of bounds. So, thank you for the heads-up play by Cam Akers, batting the ball just enough so it would get out of bounds. Why Cam Akers had one carry in the game, and for 8 yards? Yet, we're going to keep feeding the ball to Alexander Mattison. Make the change. Make the change. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who the GM is. I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. I don't care whose bleep they're bleeping on. Make the change. Just make the change, please. Cam Akers, starting running back. Alexander Mattison, third down running back. Just do it. It's that simple. You know, like the continuous improvement cards people might do in professional workplaces. Apparently, that's something that exists kind of all over, you know, the world, you know, like all over companies, whether corporate or factory corporate, whatever the heck. Continuous improvement card. Cam Akers, starter. Alexander Mattison, third down running back, or whatever the heck. It's that simple. Or Alexander Mattison is the third running back, and Tyson Chandler is the third down running back. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Cam Akers should be the starting running back for the Minnesota Vikings. Campaign is right here. I'm campaigning for it. Vote for Cam Akers in 2023. He needs to be the starting running back of the Vikings. It's that simple. Like, is there anything else I need to say? I think that's it. I think the review is over. Cam Akers is the Fran Tarkington. Alexander Mattison is the Christian Ponder. You might have one of those correct. We'll come back to that later. Jordan Addison dropped some passes as well in the game. A couple of drop passes that were just like, really, man? That's the best we can do, huh? KJ Osborne had a couple catches, 48 yards overall on four catches. Not 48 catches, no. But just kind of okay, mediocre. Jordan Addison, you know, like he's kind of hit and miss, but when he hits, he hits. And he got in the end zone again. So good for Jordan Addison, at least getting touchdowns. I guess he's Chris Carter. All he does is catch touchdowns because the yards aren't all that great yet. But eventually, I can see Jordan Addison breaking through, maybe as the year progresses. But in the way this offense is being run, I don't know. I thought offense was our specialty. I thought so. I really did. I thought offense was our specialty. I'm not seeing it because the defense is being run better than the offense. It just is. It's being run better than the offense. It's that simple. It's being run better. That doesn't mean it is better necessarily. It's just being run better because the run defense sucked. Sucked hard. It sucked so hard, it just sucked. Yeah, you get the idea. 162 yards on the ground on 36 carries. They're not spectacular, sexy numbers, but it was demoralizing. Like, come on, get somebody down. Like, 5 yards, 6 yards, 5 yards, 8 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards. It got better as the game progressed because the Bears kind of were, you know, like, I don't know, like, it's almost like they were tanking, even though they weren't. They were, but they weren't. Justin Fields hurt in the game, and then you got to see a backup quarterback who is a rookie, undrafted rookie from Division II school in Virginia. I forgot the name of it already. Tyson Bagent. Tyson Bagent, like pageant, like beauty pageant. Tyson Bagent. Who does he look like? I don't know. He looks like one of those backup quarterbacks for the Bears. Shepard. That's precious. Interesting. Shepard College rookie quarterback. Shepard College. Man. Shepard. I think you get the point. I know I'm boring you here. Donta Foreman, the former Houston Texan. He's a capable running back. And it's not like these running backs are bad. It's just that the fact that they were kind of, you know, consistently getting through. And it was irritating, especially in the first half of the game or so, where a lot of us thought the Bears were probably going to beat the Vikings. Justin Fields getting hurt didn't help, but Justin Fields wasn't good either. Both quarterbacks ultimately threw interceptions. Tyson Bagent, despite his semi-efficient quarterback rate, well, not the quarterback rating, but completion percentage, on 10 completions for 14 attempts. That's actually not too bad. But, yeah, he's a Division II quarterback. I mean, it was, you know, like you heard the word duck, 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 and Kirk Cousins threw ducks, and it's a miracle that Cousins didn't have multiple interceptions in the game. A few years back, like, say, the 2018 Bears, when they actually had a defense that was intimidatingly good, and they could have went to the Super Bowl that year. Instead, they choked and lost to the Eagles in the first round, which was really annoying. Or was it the second round, because they had the first round bye? They lost to the bleeping Eagles, and it was really frustrating. Actually, I don't think they had the first round bye. That's right, because they lost a game late in the year. That's right. I can't remember who were the best teams that year. I know the Rams were way up there. I know the Chiefs were up there. And then the Patriots beat the Chiefs, and I was very happy, because I already didn't like the Chiefs back then. Secret, it may have seemed like I liked them, but I didn't really hate them. I just didn't like them. Jordan Hicks, another very good game, and he had a scoop and score type of deal. So that was awesome. Strip sack on Tyson Bagent late in the game. Justin Fields has been getting sacked quite a bit, to be quite honest. He's been sacked quite a bit, and he was sacked 4 times in the game, including the first play of the game for the Chicago Bears. So that's always a good thing. At least the Vikings defense was kind of decent. Danielle Hunter, actually one of his better games of the season with 2 sacks, 7 total tackles. That's awesome. Josh Metellus also had some big plays. He had a sack, you know, and that's great. A couple of tackles for a loss. 3 quarterback hits. Josh Metellus is all over the field and maybe the best player in the game, along with Danielle Hunter. Caleb Evans had some moments. I mean, the Vikings secondary was better than their front, but it's mostly the pass defense in general. The pass rush combined with the cornerbacks were pretty good. At the end of the day, it was more of the overall run defense was freaking disappointing, but at least there was a pass rush and a secondary that showed up to play against a Division II quarterback. And I don't know, I still like Shields just fine. Did I call him Shields? Fields. Not Shields, the former offensive lineman for the Chiefs years ago. He was actually a really good player. DJ Moore had some moments. Nothing extremely sexy like last week when they kicked some major butts. And I extremely rudely, and I'm going to say it now because I didn't, because I'm just going to forget again. And because I get into other topics, my mind just kind of wanders like it always does. I think you guys figured that out already. Dick Butkus. I'm finally going to talk about Dick Butkus. Obviously a funny name, but an amazing player. Unfortunately, his career was shortened. His career was shortened because of injuries, which is a huge bummer. But also was like back in the day, where some players didn't always recover the way you'd want them to. Damn it, there's stuff in the way. Get out of here. Dick Blick? Come on now, I don't want Dick Blick. Yes, Dick Butkus. Just want to at least pull up, you know, something here. Not that old of a guy, unfortunately. And he was actually from Chicago. So he's literally Chicago's own in so many ways. Nothing like that mustache, the intimidating face, the tough guy. He was even in a Matlock episode. And I remember thinking, isn't that Dick Butkus? He was the Annihilator. 1987, Matlock. Where the Annihilator was this famous wrestler, well, sort of famous, and he just lost a match. You know, that's all fake anyway, but yeah, I'm not endorsing wrestling as a spectacular thing, but some of you like it. It was a great episode, though, where he'd lost a match to, like, his arch rival, so to speak, and, you know, and he said he's going to kick his ass or something, blah, 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 and then They were going to meet or something. They were talking stuff to each other. They were going to meet for whatever reason. But then somebody had killed the guy, the other guy, the rival. And then, you know, it's a classic Matlock where, you know, the Dick Butkus, you know, Dick Butkus, the Annihilator, though, he was a wrestler, went up there and found the guy already dead, like, you know, bashed over the head and stuff, and the whole place busted into pieces. And then they accused Butkus of being the, they accused the Annihilator of being the killer and blah, blah, blah. And eventually Matlock got him off, because he wasn't the killer. But it was just a really cool episode, and I'm like, that was, you know, you just saw that Dick Butkus, a personality, just a cool guy. So if you ever are curious to see Dick Butkus as an actor, there you go. Otherwise, as a player, YouTube and all that, of course, thank God for that over the years. Played in the 70s, an amazing player, but unfortunately, again, career ended short. Yeah, I mean, he's not even that old, 1942. So it's just, he's actually a year older than my dad. He's Michael Savage's age. Sorry, I keep jumping on myself here. This is actually not what I wanted to do. My apologies. Yes, here we go. Career definitely shortened. He retired at age 31 from the Bears in 1973. So played in the 60s and 70s, yeah. He didn't get that many sacks, but he had some big ones, and there was a famous commercial years ago with him and Terry Bradshaw where he sacked him twice, Bears versus Steelers. But unfortunately, the Bears back in those days just weren't good, even though it's such a historic franchise. And then in the 1980s, they were spectacular, and Butkus was kind of around for a lot of that. You know, just, you know, he was around. He was, unfortunately, wasn't playing anymore, but he was around. But knee injuries, unfortunately, slowed his career. And he had to retire at age 31. Ugh, what a bummer. He played, like, forever. He played through injuries and such as well. He only missed, like, two games in 19... Well, yeah, in the one in 1968 and one in 1969, and then missed five in 73, and then that was it. That was the year the Vikings actually went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Miami Dolphins en route to their second consecutive championship. So that's how far back the end of Dick Butkus' career goes, unfortunately, 50 whole years ago. It's just crazy. And he was only 80 years of age. Yep, would have turned 81 on December the 9th. Chicago, Illinois. Literally Chicago's own. So it's funny how they came up with the Annihilator for his wrestler name in that 1987 Matlock episode. So cool. Richard Marvin Butkus, the Animal, the Enforcer, the Maestro of Mayhem, or the Robot of Destruction. Pretty cool. So the Enforcer and the Animal, it could have easily been wrestler names. The Maestro of Mayhem and Robot of Destruction, any of those could have been wrestler names. So it's kind of cool. Five-time All-Pro, All-Pro. That means like best player in the league at your position, if you didn't know. Hall of Fame, of course. Eight-time Pro Bowler. Hall of Fame, the 1960s team. Hall of Fame, 1970s team. Yep, and only wore number 51. And one of the greatest Bears of all time, if not the greatest Bears of all time, died in Malibu, California. Obviously, again, like I'll say 50 times, great episode on Matlock and in other movies and such. You could probably look him up on Internet Movie Database and all that. Cool stuff. Great player, cool person. Damn shame that died young, unfortunately. Died kind of young. Not super young, but younger than anybody would like. You wish people could live 120, like Moses, you know. Obviously, because after the flood, people didn't live as long anymore in biblical terms. So let's get back to where we need to be. Before we do get back to the Vikings and Bears game, which you'd almost rather talk about history instead, because history is cool between these teams and Butkus and all that, rather than this game. But we're going to give Dick Butkus a moment of silence. Again, I apologize for not talking about Dick Butkus last week, but better late than never, you know? I mean, yeah. So, God bless Dick Butkus. Big time. The run defense just wasn't what you wanted. It just simply wasn't what you wanted out there for the Minnesota Vikings. The offense was, I don't know, was it boring? Was it uncreative? For the most part, T.J. Hockenson was better this week, but nothing spectacular. He's just better. He caught the passes for the most part. He wasn't egregious. He wasn't horrendous. He wasn't horse bleep. Madison has been a disappointment in so many ways. It's like, you know, you're not expecting him to be this stud. And then you watch number 87 on Detroit now. I'm seeing him on the screen flashing right now, getting tackled by the orange-jerseyed Tampa Bay Buccaneers, wearing the classic look from the 70s and 80s, when Steve Young and Testaverde and Trent Dilfer and many others played there. Some amazing names. But the number 87 of Detroit now, who's definitely becoming a hell of a player in a, honest to God, an easy choice for Detroit at this stage. Who would you rather have, especially at their salaries? You know, so, I mean, it could drive you absolutely crazy, can't it? Sam LaPorta. Not spectacular numbers yet today, but something. Number 17, and then, you know, you have our 87, pardon me, and then we have our 87, who was on Detroit and hasn't been as good. Simply hasn't, for the most part. Oh, yeah, check it out, all right. I'll check you out. No, I think I'll pass. Hard pass. Anyhow, Kirk Cousins again, the fumble out of bounds, and then he did lose a fumble in the game. The turnovers just never stop. It's bleeping annoying and bleeping frustrating. I don't know, even Byron Murphy Jr. fumbled the ball in the game. It's just embarrassing. But at least he recovered it. Jordan Hicks did recover his as well. So Jordan Hicks recovered. Well, yeah, he didn't fumble. He recovered the strip sack, scoop and score type of deal. I used to call it just the fumble six, but scoop and score is the official name that people use nowadays, just like pick six, which Kirk Cousins threw a 99-yard pick six on the opening drive against Carolina. It's absolutely great. It's just the greatest thing you could ever watch. Yeah, you're playing another last-place team, and then you come up with something like that, and you continue to turn the ball over against this last-place team. Despite the fact this last-place team kicked some major butt last week, that was because of Dick Butkus. You know, the honoring Dick Butkus and kicking butt and blah, blah, blah. And I know, I'm saying butt way too much. And then this week they looked like the team that's kind of been on display most of the season. Like the first four losses of the year were like this. So there's just nothing you come out of this feeling good about other than, you know, really nothing. Because you want that high draft pick. You know, keep on losing, what the hell, Hello Johnny Manziel, which was the funny song a few years ago, and thank God we didn't make that decision. That was the Bridgewater draft. The Vikings have a winning record on the road, which is funny, kind of like the Wolves a few years back. Terrible Wolves team. We had a winning record on the road, and we're horse bleep at home. It was kind of weird. Terrible Wolves team. Super disappointing. And I think they got better as the year progressed, though. But it's just funny. Check out Timberwolves Explosion, a brand new, fresh, brand spanking new season preview for the Minnesota Timberwolves and the NBA. Timberwolves Explosion. Check that out. There's a certain host of that show that you might like, maybe. If you're listening to this one, you might like the host. Otherwise, maybe you don't. And I don't know, maybe you're turning me off right now as well. Giants and Buffalo, we'll be talking about that when we do segment number two. San Francisco lost today. That's who we're playing next week. Lots of history there, just not as much. And there he is again. Which commercial? Yep. Oh, goody. COVID and flu shots. Yep. Why do you have, you know, why? Why? Plain as day, he's become a propagandist in so many ways. Just plain as day. Like, he's the face of everything. But you get propaganda or Bud Light or whatever. I just am done. Just go away. Just go away. That guy, you probably know who I'm talking about. Ugh. God, help me. I don't know. It's like I'm almost intentionally being distracted, because what are you going to say other than Yannick Ngakoue is a member of the Bears? Good for him. Isn't that cool? Yannick Ngakoue, former Viking for, what, 5-6 games or whatever it was. He had a tackle for loss in the game. I don't know. What do I want to talk about in this game? They had full attendance because Bears fans are good and they're loyal and it's Chicago, and who wouldn't want to go to a Chicago sports team? Even though they're not good most of the time, sometimes they are. Like the Cubs actually won a World Series once after 1908. They actually won a World Series after 1908. It actually happened in 2016. Yeah. The White Sox actually won a World Series after 1918, if I remember correctly. They won a World Series once after 1918 in 2005, I believe. Was it that long ago? Yeah, it was. Both of the Sox, the red and the white, ended their unbelievable droughts in back-to-back years. Think about that. The Red Sox one had all the attention in the world. The White Sox one, it was like, it was just like, yeah, oh, the World Series ended. I forgot who was playing, but yeah, the World Series ended. Oh, yeah, oh, it was the White Sox. Okay. And it's like people, it's like people acted like it was nothing. It was so weird. It was really weird. Plus, they won so easily against a Houston team that didn't belong there. Ivan Pace Jr. didn't have any tackles today. That's kind of a weird situation. And the Vikings linebackers weren't good for the most part in this game anyway. So, Greg Joseph missed an extra point. And he missed a 50-yarder in the game as well. So he missed a couple kicks today, unfortunately. Bummer. It was a 51-yarder, and he missed it. So, sucks. He did make a 53-yarder. I think it was a 55-yarder, actually. It was 55, 57. It was longer. Yep, never mind. He did make a 53, and then he missed an extra point after a touchdown. Big touchdown that finally got the Vikings going. That was after Madison. And then the Madison touchdown, and it's like, we have this momentum, and now you miss. We're finally doing something kind of right. So that's just kind of the Vikings, you know? Greg Joseph hadn't missed a kick all year. He misses two today, again. And then you're fumbling the ball still in, like, ridiculous fashion. You look like crap holes. You can't stop the run. You can't run. You can't stop the run. You can't catch. You can't defend the pass. Oh, well, today we kind of did, but I mean, it's Division II quarterback. Yay. God, just terrible. Velus Jones Jr. had some good moments, and the Vikings looked like not too good. Ryan Wright didn't have the best day, but it got better as the game progressed, and he also had a touchback as well. So it's like even Ryan Wright had a touchback. Oh, it's like we stunk in like every category. Just about anybody else, we would have been blown out today, probably. But the Bears were so bad. It was like, oh, whatever. I guess we won by 6 points. I can imagine, like, you know, like a decent team driving down the field and beating us at the end, despite they maybe had a terrible game like the Bears did. But then, okay, they get it together, drive down the field, and win 20-19 because we couldn't make our extra point, and we couldn't hang on to the ball in other cases. It's not all on Greg Joseph. It's a combination of things. So, should we pass out the awards and just move on? I mean, seriously, I don't need to make these shows 2 hours long to talk about this season. We're still Viking fans, you know, and all that, but it's just one of those years. It's 2013, it's 2021 all over again. It's what it feels like. It really does. Like, 2013 was poop donkey. It's a miracle this team even had, like, how many wins that year? Did we win 6 games? I think we were 6-9-1, right? It's amazing we won 6 games that year. We were horse pocky in that game, or that season, pardon me. Byron Murphy Jr., the exciting cornerback we signed, I don't know. Sadly, he had probably one of his better games this year. That's not saying much. He still sucked blankety blank out the blankety blankety blank. So, just fill in the blanks. I don't know. The Fran Tarkington Award for this show. Metellus, you got 2 of them this year. What the heck? Daniil Hunter is going to also get a share. So Daniil Hunter and Metellus, I believe they both had, this is their second in both cases. So congratulations, guys. Very good game, honestly. And it's, you know, I mean, and they deserve all the credit in the world. They played great. It's just too bad the team can't be more complete out there. Like, other guys play well at the same time. Now, Jordan Hicks was great also. He's been consistent all season. Jordan Hicks is probably your MVP this season. Probably, especially with the fact that somebody I didn't even mention the entire show is on the injured reserve. And somebody I said hasn't been all that great this year because, well, he's not as good as last year. And it's partially a collective thing because the offense has not been good as last year. Plain and simple. The starting running back isn't as good as he was last year as the backup running back. That's Alexander Mattison. Now, Justin Jefferson's the guy I'm talking about, and you already know. Unless you've been living in a cave, he's going to miss a minimum 4 games, but it'll probably be longer. He's going to be reevaluated in 4 games, which is kind of a nudge, nudge, hint, hint. It's kind of like, you know, closet tanking, which is totally fine because we just beat maybe the worst team in the league, you know, barely. We barely beat them. If they had a semi-competent quarterback, you know, they probably, you know, if they had something going on, you know, a more of a competent overall team, they probably would have beat us easily today. That's how crappy we were. generally speaking, without the fact that the defense, the best players in this team today were in the secondary for the most part, especially Josh Metellus, but again, Danielle Hunter as well deserves a ton of credit. So it's not just the secondary. Danielle Hunter was by far the best defensive lineman. Wanham also had a sack very early in the game, and even Harrison Phillips, who's been okay for the most part, but you don't really hear about Harrison Phillips all that much. Hunter has had a pretty good season quietly, which brings up his trade value. Hello? Hello? Did I say trade value? Did somebody say trade value? Yeah, I did. Josh Metellus, well, who knows? You know, is he going to be here many years and be a Viking legend, or is he going to be a trade bait? We will find out one of these days. With that said, the Christian Potter Memorial, is it like its third this year? It's not TJ Hawkinson. Well, TJ, you're off the hook. You had a pretty good, you know, he was okay. He's okay. Cousins, well, it wasn't his fault. Yeah, it wasn't his fault. I know. He's so good. He's just amazing. Can we please sign Kirk Cousins to a 5-year extension, $40 million a year, please? Just do it. No, that's okay. Alexander Mattison is going to ring in another one because I don't know, man. I don't know. You also had a sighting of Dalton Risner because Ezra Cleveland got hurt a little bit. So maybe nothing serious, but why the heck risk it at this point? I don't know. Is it closet tanking? Is it this? Is it that? I don't know. But also, it's Dalton Risner for Pete's sake. It's not like he sucks. It's Dalton Risner, and he deserves to play. So that's the case. And Brandon Ingram, apparently, I mean, according to every PFF rating out there, is one of the better guards. He's like in the upper half of the league. Okay. So I guess that's why he's been playing. And it's not, it's just that the bad plays, you know, it's the classic offensive line conversation where the bad plays, the bad moments are what you remember. But then play after play after play after play after play after play, you don't talk about or think about Ed Ingram or whoever it is. Dare we say TJ Clemmings, but no, he was really bad, poor guy. And he was also thrust into an inopportune situation. Ed Ingram isn't in an inopportune situation. He's just, you know, he struggled last year, but he is better than last year. So kind of a little apology sent out to him. I'm not a huge analytics guy, but apparently, you know, he's having, you know, according to every type of thing you can come up with for offensive linemen, and I have noticed improvement as well the last about 2-3 weeks that Ed Ingram is a different player. So we're probably not going to be passing out Christian Ponder memorials to Ed Ingram anymore. Probably not, and good for him. Probably not, unless he just, you know, does something down his leg, like people like to say. But Alexander Mattison, it's been most of the year. Cam Akers needs to be the starting running back of this team, period. Regardless, even if we're tanking or not, it's just common sense. It's just like, you know, it's just out of respect. In generally speaking, out of respect to Cam Akers, he needs to be the starting running back. I mean, Alexander Mattison, as a third down running back, isn't going to kill the guy. That's what he's been. Just like Denny Hocking was the backup shortstop and could be like a defensive replacement later in the game and might have a nice pinch hit for the Twins. But when they made him the full-time shortstop, he stunk. He stunk because Pat Mears was out for the year or whatever it was. He stunk or was out for an extended period many years ago with the Twins. Terrible. So it's the same kind of thing. Alexander Mattison is having Denny Hocking syndrome, basically. You know, very capable backup shortstop who was very good when he was in a pinch and would play maybe 1 out of 5 games or something. That type of deal. Because, yeah, you know, he's not going to run on the bench forever. He's not backing up Cal Ripken Jr. or anything, where Cal Ripken Jr. would refuse to sit out for anybody because I'm chasing the streak and you're not going to play. So good luck to you, you son of a gun. And, yeah, apparently he was a pretty selfish guy, which is disappointing to hear, but I suppose that's not surprising, especially late in his career when he wasn't even that good anymore. But he's got to get that streak. It's got to happen. Anyhow, Alexander, with that being said, Cam Akers should be the starting running back of this team. If you have any self-respect whatsoever, a self-respecting NFL franchise, Cam Akers should be the starting running back, not because, you know, not because he's Frank Gore in his prime or whatever, you know, or anything like that. But because he's a good running back, he's a capable running back, and it's not like Cam Akers would hog every single carry. It's just that he should be the feature back. Bottom line. Doggone it. With that said, we'll take a quick break, preview the 49ers, look around the league, and I can't believe this segment lasted a half hour. Sorry. And we are back here on Purple Mafia, segment number two. We got the odd-looking red, all red, Buffalo Bills on the field. I thought that was the New England Patriots from 1985 against what, yeah, it looks like the Super Bowl or something, the 85 Super Bowl. New York Giants, all white, except for their helmets and stuff. Kind of a cool look, though. It's kind of cool. So it's like a, you know, I don't know. It's a cool look, regardless. and I think the Giants have more of a chance with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback instead of that Daniel Jones guy who's, yeah, just, I don't know, he's a backup quarterback getting paid elite quarterback money. But enough about Kirk Cousins. All right, anyhow, okay, that's a little too harsh. Only a little. Thursday Night Football, the Chiefs played the Broncos and the Chiefs won 19-8. I don't really want to talk about the stupid Chiefs anymore other than Russell Wilson. God dang it. Sorry, I keep making the same mistake over and over. But other than Russell Wilson being awful and Sean Payton just looking like a fool, both of them ultimately looking like a fool, the arrogant blankety blankers that they are and were in the past, playing another arrogant blankety blanker team that I'd like to see fall off the face of the earth as well. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I hope the Chiefs fall off the face of the earth in the next couple of years. I do. I would be very happy. But I guess I'm just selfish for thinking that because I know everyone else is thinking they're the most fun thing in the history of the world. I guess, yeah, that stupid guy with 9 catches and 124 yards and wahoo, that's great. Patrick Mahomes, okay, fine. 75% completion percentage, 306 yards. He did have an interception and a touchdown because Denver's got something of a defense, but so do the Kansas City Chiefs. 19-8, Broncos look like absolute garbage. Russell Wilson is a complete waste. Sean Payton is overrated. What a surprise. The New England Patriots, well, they're just not good. They stink. And they lost to the Las Vegas Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders. This was in the second group, but it doesn't really matter. Las Vegas Raiders 21-17 over the New England Patriots, who are falling off the face of the earth. Be careful what you wish for, though, about the Patriots sucking, because guess what? They just might end up getting a blue-chip player. Well, we'll see. They can probably do better than Mac Jones at quarterback. That's a huge shocker. Kind of like the New York Giants could probably do better than Daniel Jones. So they're not set at their quarterback position, except the Giants are kind of stuck, unfortunately, because of the money. So, yeah, good job, New York Giants. That was real smart. Brian Hoyer, he's still alive. Wow, Brian Hoyer. 100 yards passing, replacing Jimmy Garoppolo, who gets hurt every time he steps foot. I don't know. I just don't know what to say about that. Interception and all that. A touchdown. But Brian Hoyer playing again. That's a guy that had some serious injuries in the past. He played for a lot of teams like the Patriots, the Browns, and such. I believe he was on the Broncos for a bit. Josh Jacobs, 77 yards on the ground, but nothing all that exciting. More of a bell cow kind of a day. Tons of carries with 25, but just 3 yards a carry. It's one of those type of days. But the Las Vegas Raiders get to 500 and win their second home game of the year. Patriots are just nothing all that notable other than Kendrick Bourne. So, I don't know, enter your Bourne movie joke, whatever, there. 89 yards on 10 catches. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just eh. That's all you can say about it. Raiders had 4 sacks. Okay, let's move on. I have a tendency to waste a lot of time on stupid games like that. Baltimore and Tennessee. Do these guys play every week? Or am I just weird? Maybe I'm just weird, but they play a lot. I don't know. I'm having deja vu right now. Feels like Back to the Future 2 or something. I better watch out so I don't create some kind of chain reaction and destroy the entire universe. But before I do that, the Baltimore Ravens defeat the Tennessee Titans 24-16. Deja vu and dyslexia. I'm going crazy looking at these numbers. I'm blah, 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 blah. My head's about to pop. 24-4-2, 2-4. Oh, stop. You're making me crazy. Lamar Jackson, another one of those. he had a decent game, but of course the grape jelly just couldn't stay in that peanut butter sandwich. It had to fall in his brand new jersey or shirt or tie or whatever the heck he's wearing. And that's how it is with Lamar Jackson. Great player, but always has to throw in that interception. Always. Tannehill was crap. Malik Willis was, I don't know, he got sacked 4 times. He completed a couple passes. That's great. He was efficient, but Tannehill was absolute crap. Baltimore, yeah, he completed 50% of his passes, and that's about it. Quarterback rating of 37.5. Whew, terrible. Lamar Jackson, though, all-purpose yards, all that cute stuff. 62 yards on the ground, leading the Baltimore Ravens in rushing. Odell Beckham Jr., I forgot where he was, basically, but 34 yards and 2 catches. It's great. Baltimore won the football game, so there you go. Jadeveon Clowney, yep, there you go. That's a big name, and then with a couple of sacks. Justin Mutubuik, also with a couple of sacks. Baltimore defense really wreaking havoc on those Tennessee Titans, who managed 16 points and lost again. They're 2-4 on the season. Kind of is what it is, isn't it? Kind of is what it is, even though it's the lamest phrase in the history of the world. It's usually when somebody makes a dumb mistake and once doesn't want to really be accountable for it. It just is what it is, you know. You know people like that, right? Washington Commanders getting back to 500, beating the Atlanta Falcons, who
that's right. I'm like, my head's spinning here. It's the quarterback Desmond Ridder that can't win on the road. That's what it was.
But now he lost a home game against Washington, a team you kind of want to beat if you want to be a playoff team. So Atlanta's not going to make the playoffs. Losing a game like this. But Washington is better than getting their asses pounded by the Chicago Bears. So, again, that was a historic matchup back in the good old 80s. NFC title game, second round, all that cute stuff. The Bears and the Washington Redskins back in the day was pretty damn impressive. Unfortunately, it looks like a major injury to a New York Giant player being carted away with his shoe off. That is never a good sign. So, hopefully it's nothing uber serious. Sam Howell, awesome game. With 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a very efficient game for only 151 yards complete passing. Very efficient. Brian Robinson Jr. on the ground, mediocre. Like, the running game just wasn't working in a lot of places, except for in Chicago for the Bears, not for us, of course. of course, Desmond Ridder with 3 interceptions despite being at home and the magical no place like home type of guy. Again, I always joke he might as well have played for the 87 Twins, but don't think he was born yet. Drake London with 125 yards receiving for Atlanta, but again, in defeat, 24-16. What's going on with 24-16? I have an idea what it could be, but I'm going to keep that to myself. Interesting. Very interesting. 16 and 24. I'm going to leave that right where it is. Yes. Cincinnati Bengals 17-13 over the Seahawks. Cincinnati kind of getting their butts in gear a little bit. Not a great game, but a win. You know, it's one of those. Another day where, well, Geno Smith, geez, he'd been wonderful for Seattle. He did throw for 329 yards, but threw a couple of interceptions and just struggled in the game. Whereas Joe Burrow had that, the grape jelly falling on his shirt. Yes, he did. But he's not the typical guy that I look at that way. It's more like Baker Field, you know, guys like that. Cleveland, where it's like Cleveland and, you know, Tampa Bay. Yeah, where he'll have a nice game. He'll have one of the better games of the year for himself. And then there's always that grape jelly on the shirt. Like, dude, come on, man. Stop screwing up or spilling lasagna on yourself or whatever the heck, you know, when you're eating and it drips, it falls off, whatever, that kind of thing. Why do I keep doing this? I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be a bad comedian, I guess. Sorry, Simon. Tyler Lockett of Seattle with 94 yards receiving. Jamar Chase with 80 yards receiving for the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Mixon, yeah, another. Yeah, look at the running game all over the NFL this week. 62 yards for Kenneth Walker III, 3.3 yards a carry. He did get in the end zone, though, so that's a good enough day for a guy, for a fantasy player. Maybe that's your number two or number three running back. Hey, not bad. Joe Mixon, you'd be annoyed if this is your number two or number three. 38 yards, 3.2 a carry. Just, ugh, you know, yuck. Well, I mean, good for teams for focusing on the run. Defensively, the Vikings certainly bleeped and do that. Cincinnati, 17-13 in a pretty boring game. Honestly, not exciting. And there's a bunch of boring games, but there's a couple exciting ones coming up, or at least blowouts. Exciting for one or two teams and not exciting for the other. Jacksonville pounded for the most part anyway. Indianapolis Colts 37-20. I'd say that's a pounding. And an amazing statistic you're going to hear in the third segment. Thankfully, it's on X or Twitter from Mad Martin, so I will not be able to forget it. I won't. And I should have probably mentioned it in the first segment, but okay, I'll mention it now, and I'm going to mention it again. But the Vikings have not won a two-score game since 2019.
It's fucking awful. 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 In every possible way.
Question. How the bleep is that possible? I mean, even bad teams blow out. The Chicago Bears, arguably the worst team in the league, won by 20 over the Washington Commanders last week. How? I just don't get it. It's a joke. It's a prank. It's an absolute prank. Gardner Minshew was definitely pranking his team. Three interceptions? Come on, man. And then Lawrence again, the grape jelly. Yeah, you get the idea. Two touchdowns and an interception. Nobody's protecting the bleeping football except for Sam Howell. What's going on, guys? What's going on with the interceptions? Every quarterback, whether good or mediocre or bad or crappy or whatever they are, there's at least one interception per quarterback. What's going on here? It's kind of funny. It happens. Hey, if you go out and have a great game, I'm not mad at you. Etienne Jr., 3.1 a carry. Even Etienne Jr., 3.1 a carry. These are like the main running backs, of course. Zach Moss, who broke loose last week, 3 yards a carry. Zach Taylor, with all that money, 2.4. Long of five. Jonathan Taylor. Oh, that's why, you know, I don't get excited about paying running backs. Because they just, you know, especially when it's contract time, that's the sick and sad joke about being a running back in the NFL in this modern time. Once you're eligible for that big contract, you're starting to get older already. And almost like a year or two into that contract, it's like, get him out of here. Like Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is like 27, 28, right? You'd think he's 36. He sucks. He's done. He's toast. He's 28, right? What's going on? Like, you finally get your money 2-3 years into that contract. It's not only like, get him out of here. It's like, get him the hell out of here. Like, he's done. He's not even close to what he used to be. Michael Pittman Jr., 109 yards receiving on 9 catches. Pretty impressive. But Gardner Minshew was awful. He did have 329 yards, but he was playing from behind. He had some bad passes, also some desperation. Jacksonville wins comfortably, 4-2 record. Jacksonville Jaguars, Doug Peterson and the Jaguars looking to win their division again, eh? Well, maybe. Maybe. Kind of depends, I guess, what happens along the way. Weird. Anyhow, Miami Dolphins back on the winning track again. 5-1. How about the Miami Dolphins? Panthers over 4 on the road and over 6 overall and trying to get the number one pick in back-to-back seasons. Bryce Young was adequate in the game, but they got doubled up. 42-21 over there in the Southeast Carolina and Miami. The Miami Dolphins, who had an awful game a few weeks ago, but my goodness, since that game, they are back to being awesome. And Tua is kind of, at least they're hoping, knock on wood, kind of like the other, maybe the other Patrick Mahomes in the NFL. Miami looks like just an awesome overall team. Again, Bryce Young, respectable numbers, despite the fact they got their asses handed to him. Didn't throw an interception and, you know, it was okay. It was adequate. Quarterback rating of 85.1, not too bad.
And Chuba Hubbard, who gave us a hell of a time a few weeks back, 4.6 to carry. Finally. Oh, my God. Another one. Raheem Mostert, 6.8 a carry on 115 yards and 17 carries. Impressive. Old peace sign himself was doing the peace sign. Yes, he was. 163 yards and only 6 catches. One touchdown, 27.2 per catch. That's yardage, of course, on average. Adam Bleepin' Thielen, that guy. Looking like a nice veteran, super reliable target for Bryce Young. 11 catches, 115 yards and a touchdown. Sounds like the Adam Thielen of 2015 with Stephon Diggs. Remember how fun that was? Wasn't that fun? 2015, once you got to be about week 8, week 9, it was like, oh my God, we might have one of the best receiving tandems in football. And it seemed like yesterday, Thielen was, just barely trying to, was just barely making the team. And then Stephon Diggs is just this fifth-round pick rookie from, God knows. Who the heck is this guy? And then it's like, holy crap, he's freaking awesome. Holy crap, Thielen is a Pro Bowl-level receiver. Remember those days? Man, that was fun, wasn't it? It really was. Really was. Miami, very, very impressive team. I would love to see the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl. Last time they made it was 1984, and they got pounded by the 49ers. Maybe we're going to get a rematch. We just might get a rematch of the 49ers and Dolphins. Wouldn't that be something? A rematch. But, we get to see these teams play. I'll finally get to see that, that much anticipated or much desired or whatever the word is. I don't know why the word's escaping me. Something you always wanted, the matchup you always wanted, 49ers and Dolphins back in the late 80s, early 90s. You always wanted it, didn't you? Montana Young versus Dan Marino. At least those of you that are old enough to remember. You always thought that day would come, and it never came, except for that crappy 84 game. It's like, you want something better, don't you? Kind of like your day at work. Like, gosh, don't I deserve better than this? That's not an inside joke or anything, is it? It might be, or it's throwing shade at something, but sometimes it is. Now I'm losing everything. Nope, I had to. Jets and Eagles. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe what I'm seeing. So much for, there's nobody left, is there? That's the end of undefeated teams. Now the 49ers lost today, which you know, I guess, and we're going to talk about that last. Not going to screw that up again. Let's just get to Saints and Titans. I don't know. The Texans, pardon me, not the Titans. I think the Texans are better than the Titans now, and record-wise, they are. And, they have a nice quarterback of the future, don't they? They really do. I'm impressed. C.J. Stroud continues to be solid. He's going to get the turnovers, and Derek Carr is the king of peanut butter and jelly, or like grape jelly landing on his shirt. Sorry, I'm trying to cool myself off here. Derek Carr is always throwing interceptions. Every time he has a decent game, there's at least one. C.J. Stroud is like, whatever, he's a rookie. He's a bleeping rookie, but he's a damn good one. Maybe he'll end up really having a great career and getting Houston where they want to be. Screw the Houston Astros, by the way. They knocked the Twins out, and they're probably my least favorite baseball team. Kansas City Chiefs of baseball. Go away. Either them or the Dodgers. Turn it off. There was only one time that matchup was awesome. Just the thought of those two teams in the World Series, and it was 2017. And then you find out not long after that the Astros cheated royally. It's just like, bleep you. Just bleep you, seriously. It wasn't a very entertaining series, but to think they cheated like over and over again with all those home runs, like they knew what pitch was coming. Bleep you. And the Saints fans are probably saying the same thing. It's not that fun right now for them. Houston 3-3. The Houston Texans anyway, 3-3 on the year. 20-13. The Texans over the New Orleans Saints. I don't know. I mean, the Saints are just kind of like wallowing in mediocrity. They're going to be like 9-8. They're going to be 8-9. Houston would be thrilled with that record. Saints, it's just kind of like With they have talent, but they don't. It's not elite talent anymore. Like Kamara again, he's actually still really good, even though he had a terrible week last week. 68 yards, 3.6 a carry, nothing spectacular. Singletary, 4.8. But they went with Dameon Pierce a lot. I mean, almost as or slightly more for 2.6. So, I don't know. If something's working, keep going. Might as well keep going with Mike Boone. 11 yards and one carry. What the hell, right? Kind of sounds like the Vikings. One guy, he has a great play, or yeah, has one great carry, and then you don't go back to him again. Kind of like Ty Chandler. Anyhow, Houston wins the football game. Congratulations to the Houston Texans. Houston Texans are 3-3. I bet they're happy to be back around 500, but maybe they'd like some offensive line help or whatever the heck it is to keep taking that next step. Rams and Cardinals, fascinating. 26-9. Rams and Cardinals. God, do we have to? 3-3. The freaking Rams win their first home game of the year, which is hilarious. Kind of something the Vikings would like to do right about now, but they didn't. Cardinals haven't won a road game, and they're 1-5 on the year. Yuck. Like to see them do better. Joshua Dobbs is an okay quarterback, but didn't have a good day. 50% completion percentage. Yuck. Stafford was decent. In fact, he didn't throw an interception. He's another one of those classic guys that sometimes tries to do too much and he throws the ball or throws interceptions, but it is what it is, you know? Crap happens. Joshua Dobbs, 47 yards on the ground. Decent. Actually very good on only 7 carries. Of course, obviously he's the quarterback, but it's nice, though. It's nice numbers. It's nice to see a mobile quarterback get the job done like he did. Kyren Williams, if you like running backs, awesome. Awesome day at the very least. 148 yards, 7.9 a carry, including a 31-yard and a touchdown. Great game. Great game. Cooper Kupp with 148 yards and a touchdown. Offensive player of the year, right? Just kidding. Puka Nacua. Now that's what I'm talking about. With 4 catches and 26 yards. It's just not enough, is it? Nope, but it doesn't matter. It's just a rookie anyway. The Rams are the Rams. I don't know. The Rams are what they should be. They are who we thought they were. A mediocre team is going to be like right in the middle. They are who we thought they were. Doggone it. That's what Arizona's saying too right now. They are who we thought they were. Yeah, I don't know. I had to. The Rams. Ugh. I appreciate Cam Akers, though. They basically gave him away. They basically did. I like Cam Akers, but we're too stupid to use him. Doggone it. Bottom line, use Cam Akers. The Jets are back to 500. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles. The Jets beat the Eagles. The 49ers were beat today by the Cleveland Browns, and the New York Jets beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Upside down world, eh? That is an upside down world. It really is. It's as upside down as it gets. Is that Joe Torre? Looks like it. Yep, Joe Torre of the St. Louis Cardinals back in the 60s, I believe. Awesome. That stare. Let me tell you, I love it, actually. Jalen Hurts was sucking, and it was against a great defense, though. No matter what you think of the Jets, you know, like sarcasm here, this and that, don't forget, I mean, there's a reason why they went after Aaron Rodgers, because they thought they could win now with that defense. Because they can win now with that defense. The secondary is unbelievable in New York. And Robert Saleh is one of the best defensive coordinators of the last 10 years with the San Francisco 49ers. Should have a Super Bowl ring, but doesn't, unfortunately. 3 interceptions for the guy, Jalen Hurts, the MVP of football like a year ago, right? MVP of football. 3 interceptions. Zach Wilson didn't throw a touchdown, but he didn't throw an INT either. Yeah, placeholder 3.0, basically, right there. Garrett Wilson with 90 yards receiving. Good for him. Alan Lazard, Packer. Randall Cobb, Packer, this guy, that guy. Bring back Sterling Sharp. Bring back, I don't know, bring back all of them. I don't know. I don't even remember anymore. Greg Jennings, I don't know. It's funny. CJ Mosley. Yeah, there are some absolute studs with the that team, with that team, yeah, with the New York Jets. Absolute studs defensively, particularly in the secondary. It is sick stuff, absolutely sick. And they did a hell of a job, 20-14. It's extremely impressive what the New York Jets were able to accomplish, and they're 500. Just imagine if by some miracle from God, Aaron Rodgers is able to suit up at the end of the year. Like the Rangers squeeze, or the Rangers, the Jets squeeze, I'm thinking about baseball again. The New York Jets squeeze into the postseason, and Aaron Rodgers comes back. Wouldn't that be something? But that would be mean. That would be mean, though. You might offend fans of Zach Wilson, though. I don't know. Zach Wilson's a placeholder, folks. He should have been a blue-chip quarterback, but he's not. He's a placeholder. Dare we call a certain guy wearing number 8 the most expensive placeholder of all time? I don't know. It breaks my heart. The whole thing does. Cowboys and Chargers are Monday night. Blah, blah, blah. But we're going to keep backtracking here. I think we're ready for... Yeah, see, the Vikings played the Bears, and the Packers are off this week, right? So, yep. Bye week of Packers and Steelers. Super Bowl in 2010. 2010 season, anyway. It was a good game, actually. Lions looking impressive again. Didn't look super impressive, but now their defense showed up to play. They were frustrating Baker Mayfield quite a bit in the game and forcing some turnovers and batting away passes. Just wonderful. Jared Goff, 353. Oh, unbelievable. Exquisite. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Quarterback rating 107. Exquisite. To think both of these guys were number 1 overall picks in the draft. Jared Goff was looked on as kind of a bust for a while there. Was phenomenal the first three, four years or so, and helped get the... he didn't necessarily lead the L.A. Rams to the Super Bowl. Their defense was pretty good, too. But was a part of that team, and was a part of, at one point a year earlier, thought of L, and even during the 2018 season, a very sexy offense. It was them and the Chiefs, and a very epic, was it a Sunday night game? It was really good stuff. Goff versus Mahomes. I mean, there was a time when it looked like that was going to be number 1 and number 2 right there. And it was going to be like a, you know, 100-point Super Bowl, basically. Like, 57 to 40-something, or 57 to 52, or whatever the heck the final could be. 55 to 52. You know, an epic game, you know, where it's all offense, this and that. But Jared Goff has definitely evolved, matured and grown into a heck of a player for Detroit, and I'm very, very impressed with what they've done. Very. You know, it's not like I'm, you know, dancing on the Vikings' grave here, you know, because by, like, go Detroit, this and that. But you know what? It's an easy team to root for. It is. It's not the Green Bay Packers. And I like Dan Campbell, doggone it. It's an easy team to root for, except for when we play them. But if they make the playoffs, I mean, go Lions, man. Why not? They haven't won a playoff game since 91. Was it the Dallas Cowboys was the last playoff game they won? They had the first round bye, 12-4. It was the only playoff game they had until getting slaughtered by the Washington Redskins in the NFC title game. The Detroit Lions were once thought of as a very formidable foe. And that was right when I started watching football. I've told this story before. I was like, man, Detroit is one of the best teams in the league. And most of you would laugh your ass off if you heard me say that back then. A 13-year-old, wide-eyed, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed NFL fan named Joey Owijan, who finally started watching football at age 13, like watching football full-time. So the Detroit Lions is one of the most respected teams in the NFL. Well, now it's like, now maybe they're finally heading back to that direction again. And this time they might actually do something instead of getting beaten wild card round every bleeping time they make the playoffs. Be it against Brett Favre in 93. I mean, they won the division that year. That's why I still saw Detroit as a respected team. But they got beat by the Packers in 93 in the first round. Brett Favre, very impressive performance. His first playoff game, actually, beat the Detroit Lions. So how's that for history? But then after that, it was like, so much for that. Anytime they'd make the playoffs, it was like, see ya, see you, see you, see you. You know, very epic. They had a couple of really nice seasons. Jim Caldwell, they couldn't get past the stupid Cowboys. It was like, damn, they couldn't get back. Was it 2014? An awesome Detroit Lions team, and they couldn't get past the Cowboys. Broke my heart, honestly, because, I don't know, if it's Detroit and Dallas, who are you cheering for? It can't be the Cowboys, can it? If it is, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. Unless you're just a full-time, full-fledged Cowboy fan, and more power to you. Luckily, they haven't won a playoff game since 95, right? No, they've won playoff games. They haven't gotten to the NFC title game since 95. They've won playoff games, but it's been kind of Kirk Cousins-ish, like once in a blue moon, and then once you do, you ain't winning the next one. You're not going to no Super Bowl. You're not going to an NFC title game either. But a pretty good thrashing of the Buccaneers in their house, who can't protect their home field for some reason. Only 6 points. Extremely impressive when you consider Tampa Bay's offense was pretty good against the Vikings, and they have some weapons. Chris Godwin still can, is a weapon. Mike Evans is absolutely a weapon. He was one of Tom Brady's favorites. If Tom Brady likes you, you must be pretty good. Rachaad White, who was a lot tougher against us, 3.7 a carry, and they were playing from behind anyway. And old grape jelly himself, Baker Mayfield, with the usual interception, but nothing else to show for it. Way below 50%, just not way below, but below 50%, a below average type of a performance. Yucky, and a quarterback rating of 56.8. Whereas Goff, just very impressive. Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the longer, more crazy names out there, 124 yards receiving. Jamison Williams, also 53 and a touchdown, where Brown had a touchdown as well from the Goff man. And the Goff man, great game, you know. Great game, and Detroit 5-1. 5-1. NFC North is yours, looks like. The Kings of the North. The roar hath been as the restored. Da-da. Sure looks like it. Again, Packers are off. Bears played the Vikings, so all that's left is the San Francisco 49ers coming off a loss to play against your Minnesota Vikings. Ooh, sounds like fun, doesn't it? I don't know. And unfortunately, it's the most difficult game for me to review. Monday night. Ugh, Monday night. Another 5-1 team. I mean, Detroit's 5-1, San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Miami. Ooh. Pretty cool. Poor Detroit, though. They got two other teams in the NFC. I'm going to say it again. NFC. Oh, and Kansas City. Kansas shitty. Okay, I said it. Pardon my French. Kansas City. Yep, them too. So, yeah. You might be... I stand by it. NFC wins the Super Bowl this year. San Francisco, Philadelphia, Detroit. San Francisco, Philadelphia, Detroit. Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, I know. That'd be pretty impressive. If the Detroit Lions go on and win the Super Bowl, it's just another team that'll have beaten us to the to finally putting a legitimate trophy in the trophy case. And the NFC Championship game was so long ago, I don't even know if we have trophies for it. In the 70s. I don't even know. Did they? I would hope they got a trophy for winning an NFC title game in 76 and all that. I would hope so. But I guess we won the last, I forget what trophy it was, for NFL champion. And supposedly that's a huge curse. And that's why we haven't won, you know, a Super Bowl. Oh, whatever. And then it's Packer Week next week afterward. So leading into Halloween already. Already Halloween. Can you believe it? And then right like about 5 minutes after that, here comes Christmas season and Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that cool stuff. I've babbled enough, I apologize, but it's Monday Night Football, 7:15 ABC, Monday, October 23rd. I guess the 49ers, a team we've had minimal success against. Well, we've had some. Feels like it hasn't happened in like 100 years, though. We actually won a game versus the 49ers in 2018. Why do I have such a vague memory of that? We beat the 49ers in 2018. Oh, yeah. That was the season opener. They were really crappy still. They just acquired their quote-unquote franchise quarterback of the future. And he got injured the next week or something. It was like right away. Garoppolo was terrible. Yeah, three interceptions. That's what it was. I remember thinking, yeah, we beat them. But God, what an ugly game. But it was Kirk Cousins' debut. We beat a 49ers team that wasn't thought of very highly at the time. A young George Kittle who ran all over us. It was crazy. Had a nice couple catches. Cook with 6 catches, 55 yards. Thielen with 102. It wasn't a very exciting game. I remember thinking like, yeah, well, at least we won. And then right after that, the Vikings season went down the schmooker. We did win the season opener in 2018 in U.S. Bank Stadium, but right after that, the season just was a big bleeping disappointment. Like dog dookie falling down rolling down a hill. Vikings have lost 2 in a row to San Francisco since then. The first one was a playoff game after that exciting clutch performance by Cousins and Thielen and all that. And Kyle Rudolph. Pretty much in the 2020s, yeah, the Vikings are winless in the postseason and all that and have had pretty crappy success overall. But, yeah, a very exciting game versus the Saints, and then got drubbed by the Niners 27-10 in January. Lost in the second round. Seems strange, doesn't it? But, yeah, we lost in the divisional round. We actually had won a playoff game with Kirk Cousins and then got beat 34-26 in 21. Surprised we even were that competitive against that excellent team. But the Vikings do play up to their opponents. They play up to the teams like the 49ers and suck against the, you know, teams like Carolina and Cleveland and you know what I mean? Tampa Bay and stuff. First four games in franchise history versus 49ers, 0-4. Yep. Oof. Yep. They beat the crap out of us in most of those. But, yep, so I won't get towed too deep in the early 60s. Then the Vikings won because the 49ers were terrible in the 50s, weren't they? Oh, no, they were actually good in the 50s, so they were probably remnants of that team in the early 60s. Vikings would then win 5 in a row in the mid-60s, and it'd be a bit of a back-and-forth, including a rare tie, 20-20, 9-11-1966. Ooh. And the Vikings would crush them the next year, or no, the next month. Who knows if we're in the same division back then, because we played pretty often. It was like every year we played the 49ers at least once, seemed like for quite a stretch. 74 was a year we didn't. But a bit of back and forth against the 49ers. It was kind of like 2 wins, 3 losses, 3 losses, 3 wins, 2 losses, this and that. And then the 87 Vikings had a thrilling victory in San Francisco where Joe Montana actually got booed and was benched in the game, 36-24. So it wasn't just Montana was getting turnovers. It was getting the Vikings defense really showed up to play because Vikings have had some good defensive players pretty much throughout the history of our franchise. Some big names like Keith Millard and all them in the 80s. Obviously the Purple People Eaters in the 70s and late 60s. But that was the one time the Vikings actually won a playoff game against a legitimate, absolutely legitimate Super Bowl contending team. We won a playoff game against the San Francisco 49ers on the road. And then we lost the next week to the bleeping Redskins. It's just, of course we did. Because the next week, or the next game, would have been the Super Bowl against the Denver team that we would have beaten easily. Of course, the Washington Redskins were still there, and of course we lost to them by the narrowest margin. That's Vikings history in a nutshell right there. The win of the millennium, the win of the century. You beat Joe bleeping Montana in the heat, the heart of the dynasty of the 49ers in the playoffs, and you lose to the Redskins. You lose to the Redskins, a low throw and a fairly incompetent Darren Nelson. Crappy combination. You know, Wade Wilson, Darren Nelson. Good memories, but very disappointing one right there. Other than that, though, the Vikings have had minimal success against the 49ers in games that we really, you know, care about, honestly. 89, destroyed, 34-9 in the playoffs. 90, absolutely smoked, 41-13. But there was 87, okay? Well, it was the 88 season and the 90 and the 89 season, so you get the idea. The 89 Vikings were, I don't know, it was a good group of players that were, you know, some of them were aging and some of them were just not as good anymore, blah, 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 or were injured, like Keith Millard, doggone it. And it was kind of a transition period. In the 90, we were like last place. In 91, we were meh. And then Bernsie was gone and Denny came in. And I barely remember that one. Yeah, we lost to the 49ers in a thriller. That was a 14-2 team. Oh, I kind of do remember that now. December 13th, 92, 20-17 loss. We really hung in there. Just imagine if we beat that 49ers team. It was in the Dome, and it was when the Vikings were a team that looked like we could have won 13 games or something, and then we started losing some unfortunate ones like to Houston. Just could not beat them. Vikings could have been 8-2, which would have been insanely exciting. Warren Moon broke his shoulder in that game in a collision with one of the tough Viking defenders. I forget if it was Henry Thomas or Randall or who the heck it was, Al Noga, somebody like that, the good old days. Just a massive collision. But the Vikings still found a way to lose that game. It was just heartbreaking. Man, it really was. And then, yeah, 93, 49ers weren't as good, but they beat the living bleep out of us, 38-19, so on and so forth. 94, an exciting win. I barely remember that. I barely remember that. But, oh, yeah, yeah, what am I talking about? I went to this game. Of course we beat them. You know why? Steve Young played, like, the first quarter. Yeah, that's why. And he was epic. He was fantastic. It was an easy touchdown to Rice. Sean Salisbury was awful, but the Vikings still won the game because the 49ers were just kind of playing it safe. Elvis Gerbach was the main guy as they took Mr. Young out as soon as possible because the 49ers had already won 13 games. They already had home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and they went on and won in the Super Bowl, and the Vikings got crushed by the Bears the next week. So, whatever. Oh, I'm sure San Francisco just felt awful about that game. Oh, I can't believe the Vikings beat us. Doggone it. But other than that, though, from about, basically from 1988, after that awesome playoff win on the road, but from the 88 regular season up to about 98, all those years later, the 49ers pretty much owned the Vikings. What's the record there? Looks like 9-2. 9-2. The 49ers were 9-2 versus us during that stretch, for about a 10-year stretch. The 99 Vikings beat the Jeff Garcia-led, if that was the guy. Nope, Steve Young. Steve Young had a concussion in the game, and I believe. And the Vikings win comfortably over a 49ers team that just wasn't up to it. Nope, it was Jeff Garcia and Steve Stenstrom, the former Bear. Yeah, so Vikings crushed a 49ers team that just wasn't up to it. Then a bit of back and forth. Vikings would have some success. I don't want to get too deep and stay on this forever, especially by the 2000s. It's not as exciting as like the 80s and 90s, honestly. But there was a couple of really exciting ones, like 2009, pardon me, with some of the replacement refs or something. It was a 2009. What am I talking about? This was Brett Favre, the epic pass and completion to Greg Lewis. If the play isn't made, the Vikings lose to the 49ers. A very good team led by Singletary. This wasn't Harbaugh yet. Singletary, they were looked on as one of the best teams in the league at the time. Great defense. Yep. And they've had a great defense most of the way since then. For the most part, have the 49ers. Off and on competitive, and the guy's getting hurt, unfortunately, and moving on over the years. But a pretty dangerous 49ers team, to say the least. But the Vikings were able to beat them. A beautiful play to Greg Lewis, and the Vikings end up getting the win. And Kaepernick would have his success, blah, 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 blah. 2012 49ers were a really intimidating team that probably should have won the Super Bowl that year, but they just didn't. Vikings actually up, and that was the Christian Ponder day. That was the most listened to Pearl Mafia ever. So 13 years later, it's never been beaten, sadly, which is extremely frustrating, actually. I'd like to believe that this show could have more success than that, but we really haven't had anything that exciting since then, because we beat what was looked on as the best team in the league. Absolutely, they were the best team in the league at the time in the Dome. Ponder had the best game of his life. And it was really something. That was the replacement ref day and all that. But it looked like we had a franchise quarterback for like a week or two with Ponder, which is funny and laughable now. But I had, what, how many? I don't know if it was almost 20,000 listeners. It was like 15, it was over 15,000 listeners. It was just gorgeous. And it was like 10,000 the next week or something. And then as the season progressed, it was like 2 or 3. Which is kind of like, you know, average for this show for the most part over the many year stretch, though it feels like it's been declining over the years because there's so many other shows and I don't know. Those of you that have stuck with the show, thank you very much and keep telling your friends if you could. But 2018, yeah, we got back to that. So we already have the recent history, this and that. 34-26, a couple years back, big deal. The 49ers beat us. So I like going over the history. Hopefully you don't mind too much. It's been fun. Obviously, the most fun time was 87, or like January 88. That was insanely fun, and it was totally worth it. There's nothing bad about that. It was just, you know, it was a happy, fun, amazing time. The Twins had recently won the World Series, and it's like, can the Vikings do the same thing now? Win a championship? Like, end all of our heartbreak? But, of course, they didn't. Just reality. Back to the current 49ers, though. Brock Purdy, who is healthy, did not have his best game today. The Cleveland defense was very frustrating to deal with. McCaffrey is a dual threat, and everybody knows that, as is, but the other guys. Oh, there he is, Debo Samuel. is also a dual threat, but unfortunately, he just did not have a good day. And I don't know if he's hurt or what the deal is there, but they have multiple dual threats with Samuel and Brock Purdy. Samuel must have been hurt in the game. It had to have been. So we'll see what happens with his status going into the game. Kareem Hunt actually getting going with the Browns a little bit, with Jerome Ford leading the way with 84 yards, almost 5 yards a carry against this 49ers team, which is pretty impressive. 4 yards a carry for Kareem Hunt, or just under that. I'd like to believe the Vikings use Cam Akers. Please. Like, I'm going to say it again. This, I don't care if I sound like a broken record. Give Cam Akers the bleeping ball. Move on from this experiment with starting whatever his name is, Madison. Alexander Madison. All the respect in the world, you know, good guy, blah, 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 well-meaning person, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, go with the better player. Give the better player the ball. You know, even if we're trying to lose, don't make it so obvious, right? At least make the game entertaining, you know, one way or another. Maybe you might actually get a couple of yards on the ground versus the 49ers. Maybe you won't have to play from behind the entire game. But otherwise, Kirk Cousins is going to attempt 49 passes, throw two or three interceptions. The Niners are going to beat us and pound us into the ground, 52-14. And, we'll talk about the Packers. It's really exciting. We get to talk about the Packers and Jordan Love versus Kirk Cousins or whatever. Oh, it's so it's just fascinating stuff. It's fascinating. You know, one of us might win 7 games this year. It's great. And then pick somewhere in the middle of the draft. Wonderful. Just great. Yep. But one way or another, I mean, this 49ers team should be able to, as long as they get their heads out of somewhere and they don't play like they did this week, outside of Brandon Ayuk with 4 catches, 76 yards. Good performance. McCaffrey is that dual threat, but he was contained pretty well, to say the least. I mean, 9 yards and 3 catches. One of them was a touchdown, but boy, he was contained. Amari Cooper was not contained by the San Francisco defense. San Francisco defense, I mean, maybe learned something from what Cleveland did, including having, like, the more skilled running backs. Just use, God dang it, just, I'm sorry. I am really sorry. I probably should try to, I don't know. But just, it's got to be Cam Akers and not Addison. I'm sorry, Madison. Yeah, Addison, go ahead. Throw the ball to Addison. You're going to have to. You're going to have to. There is no Justin Jefferson. Addison is going to have to be like a 1 or 2 franchise type receiver for right now. And maybe he will develop into that superstar or, you know, a Stephon Diggs type at some point. That's who he reminded me of. He reminded me of Stephon Diggs. But if you're going to run, Cam Akers, please. Cam Akers, I'm sorry for cursing. But Cam Akers has got to be the running back. Gosh, you know, I'm losing it. We've had enough. Like, it doesn't mean Madison needs to be buried completely, but he just does not need to be the feature back anymore. If it's 50-50, whatever. I don't even think I want to do that. But if Madison's, it's working for Madison, fine. It just figured when Cam Akers came in and he looked so smooth and so good that Madison had a good game. So just enough to do this.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Exactly, to pull us back in. That's exactly what happened, to pull us back in. Kind of like everybody in our lives, everywhere we go. The 49ers lost to the Cleveland Browns, but I do think they win comfortably over the Minnesota Vikings. And if they don't, maybe they're not going to be a great team this year. But I'd be surprised if they're not. I would be very surprised if the 49ers aren't an outstanding 13-14 win team this year and absolutely the representative in the NFC, or at least competing like hell versus the Eagles, not, you know, being basically doormats versus the Eagles last year because Purdy got hurt, like, on the first couple plays of the game, which was so freaking disappointing. That was going to be an epic, epic football game. And the problem was Philadelphia just kept winning and 49ers lost home field advantage. So that didn't help either. Of course, if Purdy got hurt, he got hurt. So it's unfortunate. But luckily, there he is, and he's been good, but didn't have his best game today, for sure. But at the end of the day, 49ers will win the football game 31-20. They'll beat the Vikings by 2 scores, something the Vikings refused to do even against the bleeping Bears. We can't even beat the Bears by two scores. Okay, with a Division II quarterback. With that said, we'll come back and hear a phone call from the greatest of the great callers, Mad Martin. And every call is great, I'm just telling you, but Mad Martin is a legend, let me tell you. Here he comes.
Greetings, Joey. I hope you're well as we move into week six in what can be described as, if nothing short of hilarious so far this season. As I tweeted to you, you know, what can you say? I mean, you nailed it with the title this week, Pranksters, because they really are having a laugh, if nothing else. And I think all you can say is it is absolutely hilarious. The fact that, you know, week one, punt first series, fumble, pick six, fumble, and you're 1-4 because of it, basically. It kind of reminds me of the immortal words that John McEnroe used at Wimbledon. You cannot be serious! Because I think, as I tweeted you, I can't take them seriously anymore. This is just beyond a joke. I honestly don't know where they go from here. Is it now a case of, will they try and attempt to claw this back? Obviously, with the loss of JJ, that becomes increasingly difficult. The Bears, I don't think, are a give me this week. They've got a lot to play for. They've certainly looked better the last couple of games, certainly offensively. It's on grass, and we historically quite often struggle there, so it wouldn't surprise me if we get another loss and go to 1-5. You've got the 49ers, who look certainly the best team currently in football. And then you've got Atlanta, who, you know, are playing reasonably well. It's on the road. So there is a strong case that we could potentially lose the next three. That's the season over. So really, it comes down to the next three games. If we don't go 2-1, that's the season done. And to be honest, I would be quite happy with that now. I know players and coaches don't tank, but the front office can make ways that make it difficult to be as competitive as possible. It's just been garbage. I was at the week one game, which was in honour of Bud Grant, and well, I didn't really pay honour to our great former head coach. That's for sure. So, I don't know. I don't know what this team needs to do. It needs to move on from Cousins. That is now an urgency, because the last 6 years have been wasted with this guy. And I know all the Cousins crusaders or the Cousins apologists will say, look at his numbers, look what he's done, he's dragged us back, yah, yah, yah. But when it truly, truly counts, when the whole season's on the line, when perhaps it is a defining moment in franchise history, he melts down. And yet again, we saw it when we needed him to make a play in that final minute on Sunday. And what's he do? Check down yet again. When he needs to get that ball up the field. And, you know, you can't blame the O-line. It's got better. Defensively, we're getting better. It just comes back to that one key position. And I really hope Kwasi has come to the conclusion, you know what? We need to actively win as few games as possible and put ourselves in the best position to find that franchise quarterback. And yes, it's a gamble and there's no guarantees. But my God, for once, could we at least try it? Can we take that chance? Can we get in the top five? Can we pick one of those players that will move this franchise on to perhaps greater success? I'm actually considering starting a sweepstake on who will be the next Viking player to fumble the football. So that could be interesting that we can, or perhaps I'll just throw a dart at the wall and see which number comes up, because it is beyond a joke. I don't know what else there is to say at the moment other than let's see where it goes. And as I've said to you, I really want to change, because, you know, every time you kind of, or every time I do a call, I almost feel like I'm one of these long playing records. It's the same thing over and over again, and it's been the same thing for the last half a decade. It's incredibly boring. I can't even get fired up this year because I didn't believe in the product, even at the start of the season. And that was only confirmed after Tampa. It was like, my God, we can't even beat Tampa at home when, you know, there should be so much on the line because you're honouring Bud Grant and they don't even bloody turn up. Oh, that's enough. Right, Joey, as always, really appreciate the show. Thanks for the silver star last week. I'm glad you liked the tweet. It was just, obviously, you looked back at it and it was like, I don't believe what I'm seeing. Yet another bloody fumble. They could have beaten Kansas. You know, the other issue being they get into the walls of the red zone and they just can't punch the ball home. It's crazy. Absolutely bloody crazy. TJ Hockenson has been disappointing. Oh, I could go on and on, couldn't I? What I hope is that if we lose to the Bears, they start having a sale. You know, let's start moving on some of these guys that are in contract years and attempt to try and build up some ammunition for the next draft so that we can be competitive in 2 years' time with a young man playing the quarterback position with all the weapons he's going to require. Okay, Joey, you take care. Skull brothers and sisters. Let's see where it goes.
Awesome call always. And yep, absolutely, you cannot be serious. John McEnroe, you have the honors.
Look, you can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Spoken perfectly. I mean, that's pretty much what Minnesota Viking fans are saying and have been saying since the Tampa game. Again, an awesome game, or awesome call-in. Not an awesome game, an awesome call-in. Yeah, and summed a lot of things up about the Vikings just cannot be serious. Gosh, another freaking injury. This one looks really serious. Ugh, sad. That was the running back, wasn't it? That's depressing. Yep, maybe a neck injury. Oh, boy. Yep. It sucks. Yep. Tired of this kind of stuff happening. Seriously. Yeah. Not making light of it. That's for darn sure. But, not sure. I mean, yeah, that the team is boring and it's the same old thing over and over and over and over. It really is. Phil Mackey on the whole vent line today talked about how it's like the same thing. Every year after year after year after year for 6 years, we're not only, see, it's like, you know, oh, we might have to bring Cousins, or yeah, we got to bring Cousins back, and nothing's happening, and we got to bring Cousins back, and then nothing good happens, we got to bring Cousins back, and you're either hanging around mediocrity, or you have that one great season last year, and then now the ultimate payback is coming this year, where we're having a terrible season, so just move on, for the goodness, for the love of God, time to move on. So, nope, I mean, an absolutely awesome call-in, and no reason for me to babble all over the call. It was a great call-in, and, thank you so much for that, Matt Martin. And we're about to get to the frightening statistic here coming up, if I even have everything ready, which half the time I don't. I apologize. Video game flashback, Castlevania, will be coming out very soon, so look up at @VGF_podcast on X if you can. And you have any thoughts on Castlevania for the NES, you could get on there. So just in time for Halloween, hopefully. I'll get that out before Halloween. I'm really hoping so. I really hope so. As for the conversation on Twitter, see, I better get this caught up here real quick. Yep. Hearing from Dave Hickey, Mad Martin. And it might be another one or two here. Let me make sure. Da 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 da. Okay, so continuing where we left off, Purple Mafia episode 408, Purple Pranksters. Yep, and he liked that. Mad Martin liked that. He thought that was a perfect name for the last episode, and yeah, and it's a perfect name for probably the whole season as well. Malcolm out of California, Yeah, but I'd love to hear him call in again. It's been so long, man. Vince Germano, out of Melbourne, Australia, but also a Cleveland Browns fan, so he was probably thrilled today. I gotta think so. And Tanae Brown out of New Zealand, also retweeting the last episode. Thank you so much. Gerald Sring liked it. Fozzie Simon. And it's good to hear from you, Fozzie. Even though we disagreed about the whole Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing, you see it as kind of just, you know, lighthearted fun. I see it as endless propaganda that I'm tired of. But that's up to you guys out there, how you feel. But good to hear from you, Fozzie. He says, I like Mahomes. I was indifferent to Brady. You can absolutely dislike whoever you want, a.k.a. God Bless America. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Uh-huh. Thank you for that. And I agree. We can all like or dislike. An attorney with the law office of Fozzie Simon. Interesting. But at least he follows and everything. So thank you. Good to hear from you. In case you're listening. Mad Martin says it's just unbelievable so far. What were we ranting about? Oh, yeah. The epic post. I was saying that is the post of the season. And he thought it was funny because, yeah, the first drive. What the flying, you know, dare I swear again. Yep, I believe today was just another punt. So, yep. Or did we turn the ball over again? Now my mind stopped. Oh, Lord. What have I done to myself here? And this thing isn't going to help me. You sons of biscuits. God, Yahoo sucks now. That's why I just plan to go with ESPN nowadays. Yahoo sucks. Oh, it's the wrong game. Joey, you dip crap. I'm so tempted to check. Here we go again. These jackasses. Screw you, ESPN. Shut up. Anyhow, we didn't score a field goal on our first drive, no. Did we? Couldn't have. It's impossible. All plays. Yep, I mean, I think the Bears punted on the first one. Did the Vikings get a field goal? I think we might have. It's like a miracle of all time. We actually did something with our first drive of the game. I think we did. I'll be daggone. I think we made a field goal. Yeah, I think we actually scored on the first on our first drive. It wasn't the prettiest thing. 9 plays, 33 yards. It was kind of meh, but we made a field goal. Ain't that a son of a gun? So that's kind of funny. Yeah, it was very gradual, but then we eventually did score from 53 yards out. That would be Greg Joseph. Yep. Ain't that a son of a gun? We actually scored, so it's the best opening drive of the season. Yeah. Okay, now that I've prolonged that about 3 times longer than I would have liked. Sorry. We did something right. Yay. Mad Martin says, do you think, again, out of Northern Scotland, do you think we finally get a double-digit win today? Looking like, yep, here it is. This is the epic statistic here. Do you think we finally get a double-digit win today? Looking, our last one was in 2019, and I believe that was November. Yep, since then, under Cousins, we've gone 29-28. How's that for being a 500 team with a quarterback on elite money? We really need to bottom out in 23 and rid ourselves of Cousins. Amen. Amen. Yep, because, see, last year's epic season was just making up for the horrible seasons, and then now we're back to being crappy again. This is 20 and 21 all over again. It's the same S. It is. Dave Hickey out of Iweja, no, it's also known as Iowa, says another nail-biter, and here comes a backup, and how do the backups perform against us? Scratch that, a fumble, and a scoop and score. Yep. So he finally did something right, eh? Why am I hitting the wrong button here? Yeah, people are saying, Skull, I love how the defense is playing today, Hicks and DJ. Yep, especially those who's finally doing something on defense. Mad Martin says, no way the Bears can score that many points. Yeah, because of how awful. I mean, it's just, there's nothing there. And I was saying, it looks like absolutely no chance. We can't even stop the run for our life. Sorry for the late reply. Okay, we'll continue now. Mayor Barton says, we have been nothing but mediocre for way too long. Think about what the 49ers have already done this season. Don't forget, we've not had back-to-back playoffs since 2000. Season since 2000. Yeah. Not 2020. Obviously, definitely not that year. They were awful. Yeah, 99 and 2000. Jiminy freaking crit. Not even 09 the next year we even made it. You know, isn't that something else? 03, 04, because we lost in 03. It was a similar team, but we lost before we couldn't even make the playoffs. We lost to the worst team in the league in Arizona. It's just unbelievable. Another great stat. My goodness, Mad Barton, you are on a roll, and I mean that in an extremely positive light. Beyond Fran Tarkenton, a Joe Montana type role. Yes, I said Joe Montana over Fran Tarkenton. I said it. 4 Super Bowls will do that for you. Dave Vicky says no. I already read that one. Okay, yet again, our so-called high-powered offense being bailed out by our D. Tanae Brown jumps in. Akers looks a lot better than, Alexander Mattison. Small sample size, but Alexander Mattison should be worried about a starting spot. Absolutely. Yep, absolutely he should be. Ben Martin says, what a putrid performance from our offense, 216 yards. Dave Hickey wraps up the X or Twitter or whatever it is. Not sure if this is the Bears game, but I guess a win is a win. I'm going to say DJ Wanham is the Fran Tarkenton award, and the punter goes to KOC for the play and the play calling. That's pretty good. Those are pretty good takes. Like I went in a different direction, but those are good, though. Those are good takes. Yeah, not bad at all, actually. Wanham was really good, and he kind of set the tone for the Vikings defense early on. Really hoping best of health for the Buffalo running back there. I believe that was Singletary. Man, you know, just sick of guys getting serious injuries. It sucks really bad, you know? It's not a joke at all. It really isn't. Not that it ever was. Not that it ever was, and I doubt any of you really think it's a joke either. Just saying. Instagram, and again, how to get to Instagram and to Twitter will both be in the show description. Of course, at Purple Mafia Show for the Twitter or X, and Instagram is simply Purple Mafia Show. And I believe it could also be considered at as well. Let's get to the Instagram. Ugh, and ignore the annoying neighbor's noise. So, this is the wrong Instagram. Yep, there we go. Uh-huh. Sorry. The in-game thread. And it looks like there's a couple. Yep, there and there was last week. Yeah. Yeah, I need to read the response from last week because I know I've had a few the last few weeks and I keep missing out and it's rude of me. I think there was something in the post-game thread last week that I could have missed. Okay, yep, it's a short thing, but yep. Mark Carlson out of Iowa, he's fatigued by failure. Yeah, me too. It's pathetic and it's tiring. Really is. I already read that. Keep going. Any comments in the... Nope, no comments in the show post, just likes, but appreciate the likes very, 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 very much for all of you that did that. Including my niece Zoe. Cool. Wonder if she's listened to Purple Mafia before. I got a feeling this is going to be small, but it is what it is. This show's been way too long anyway today. Longer than it probably should be when you consider who we freaking played and what kind of quality level the game was. Mike Dale says, and Marcus Davenport, and I didn't even mention it. Yeah, he had the ankle. Again, it looked like an ankle anyway, limping off the field and injured again. Yep, Marcus Davenport is injured again. Mike Dale again says, time to step up Jordan, KJ, and TJ. I agree completely there. And, oh man, no comments in the postgame thread. Shoot. Oh, Mike, I missed those really descriptive responses. I mean, they were still good, and I was still able to read them, but it sounded like he was frustrated with how things were kind of, like, lining up. It didn't look good or whatever. He didn't like it. Oh, Mike, if you can, I'm sorry, man. If you can. Otherwise, there's X, I guess, but X is so limited. I hope that. And I was super late in posting the post-game thread as well, which is rude and annoying of me. Doggone it. I want to hear from Mike Dale. So, other than that, though, I mean, I guess it's probably okay that we could just kind of call it a wrap here. Gosh, this show's already as long as the other weeks anyway. Already. I can't even believe it. Man Martin with the bullet, you get the gold star. Dave Hickey, silver. Tanae Bronze. I mean, just great, 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 great. You guys really, really helped so much. And, it's too bad. Well, he's doing the thumbs up, whatever that might mean, because he was going into the ambulance there. It's a bummer. You hate to see guys getting hurt, man. But at least it's a thumbs up. It's not like, you know, he's out or whatever. So, yep. He'll live to fight another day. Yep. But anyhow, yes, like I said, Tanay, Mad Martin gold, Dave Hickey silver, Tanay bronze. I mean, absolutely love hearing from you guys. I can't thank you enough. Vikings are heading into another crazy week and all that, and the frustrations of everything. I'm just going to rehash everything 55,000 times, so I better just keep moving. I might even call the title of this episode, You Cannot Be Serious. So you're probably already seeing it, though. Like, you've seen it for like an hour and a half already by the time I'm mentioning it, but maybe I'll come up with something else along the way. With that said, have yourself another great week, and enjoy the fall colors, if they're even happening, and all that. Obviously, in New Zealand and Australia and other parts of the world, you may or may not see fall colors depending on what's going on. Otherwise, you have all kinds of... otherwise, you know, here, it's kind of been slow because it rained so darn much. It's like the fall colors were delayed a bit, it seemed like. But certain trees, there's a red maple, a couple of red maples in my neighborhood here. Like, red maples, not sugar, not autumn blaze, but actual red, real red maples. Holy crap. The ones in the park look weird and kind of strange. Like, there's not many colors on them. Like, kind of almost, there's just not much color. But a couple of the neighbors, you know, close by down the Olympia Street, whatever, I am just stunned. Absolutely stunned. On my personal Facebook page, on my personal Instagram, stunned. Gorgeous. And unfortunately, that's more interesting than the Vikings right now. But during the course of the week, you can enjoy the colors like that. Red maples, sugar maples are just gorgeous, kind of a pinker color. That's one of the more common maple trees out there because they're awesome. So they should be common because they're awesome. Red maples are unfortunately kind of rare, except in parks and in certain houses. Some people might fall in love with that particular tree, like that neighbor. Apparently he had like two or three of them, and my God, they look good. It's like something in the dirt that in certain areas, you get just weird. It just doesn't look good. In other ones, it's just gorgeous. So that's what I've learned over the years. Now that I've rambled enough, I guess that's a little minor off-topic seasonal conversation as we get closer and closer to Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that. I just hope all of you have a good week. And obviously the injured player tonight, hopefully everything's going to be okay. And speedy recovery. And the Davenport also has a speedy recovery, because Marcus Davenport's an awesome defensive lineman. No matter how you look at how awful the Vikings have been this year, Davenport is one of the best players on the team right now, honest to God. So, with that said, wow, looks like Tyrod Taylor's getting an earful from the head coach of the Giants. And it is what it is. Like, bleeping, get the bleeping playoff, you bleeping idiot. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's stupid. They're at the goal line. And that is really stupid, yeah. Yeah, very. Like, what kind of dumb call was that? It's disappointing. Anyhow, he should have called an audible or something. That's probably what he's saying. Okay, anyhow, off topic, like unnecessary finish there. With that said, yeah, he was yelling at the coordinator, what were you bleeping thinking? Yeah, and I can agree with that. I wish Kevin O'Connell was that way. Damn it. But anyhow, with that said, have yourself a wonderful week. Take care and talk to you soon.